This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast.
Later on, we're hearing from Danny Bates, who's the Chief Commercial Officer for Stars Play. Why? Significant day for them. Today's the day that they launch Stars Play Sports, which they hope is going to disrupt the live streaming sports market right here in the region. Stars Play have been around for the last 8 years, seen phenomenal growth. They only started in the sports arena a year ago, last January, in fact. And yet already, because of the demand and because of the success, they have given it a dedicated subscription. So we find out more from Danny on what is a significant day for Stars Play. Also talk to Samir Lakhani. He's from Global Capital Partners. We're focusing on all things Diwa. Two-pronged attack with Samir on this one. First up, numbers, figures, earnings season. Diwa numbers very good indeed for the first half of 2022. But also, after the success of their IPO, Diwa also looking at the possibility of an initial public offering for their cooling subsidiary, Empower. What would that mean for Diwa and the market? We find out more from Samir. Hayes joined us as well to give us a bit more insight. Sarah Dixon from Hayes, to be precise. About this new upskilling report that they have brought to the table. 82% of employers are concerned about skill shortages within their organisation. In fact, it was a bit of a chat throughout the entirety of the show. Who's responsible for upskilling of staff? Is it down to the employee themselves? Or should the employer do more in terms of providing other skills training for their employees? So Sarah gave us her thoughts on that. Plus, lots of chat end of the week, wasn't it? Friday, quiet on the roads for the start of the show. Got a little busier throughout proceedings, much like our chat. Big focus on jobs, obviously spinning off the back of that skills report from Hayes, but also some interesting jobs numbers and requirements coming out of the UK. Bonuses also being dangled by large organisations like Walgreens and others to try and entice people to come and work for them. So big focus on job market, on employment and much, much more. That was and is the Bite Size Business Breakfast.
Right, we'll be learning a lot this morning. Don't upgrade your flights during the show. You'll make a mistake. Don't quickly try and eat a falafel wrap in the break because Nets from 92 is coming with a load of fabulous Lebanese takeawayness. It's all going wrong. Tom, talk to me.
Let's get on. Just on the back of what Sarah was saying there from Hayes about the jobs and the upskilling market, some interesting sort of jobs reports coming out, not just from here, but also internationally. The Recruitment and Employment Confederation, which is an organisation that looks after the jobs numbers over in the United Kingdom, has seen, despite, dare I say it, the gathering global headwinds at the moment, a record number of jobs being advertised in recent months. 1.85 million job adverts in the last week of July in the UK alone, with up to 200,000 being added every week in the past month. Three out of the UK's top 10 hiring hotspots were in London in the last week of July. So big focus on jobs in London, where invariably salaries can be a little bit higher. That's not interesting. Well, it is interesting in light of current economic conditions. What is interesting, though, is the types of jobs that are being advertised. Mm-hmm. Significant increase for job listings for actors, entertainers, driving instructors, and dancers. Forget right. Your coders.
Yes.
Forget your IT specialists.
Forget your theory that to get on in life, all you need to do is do engineering at university.
Forget chemical engineering. It's actors, entertainers, driving instructors, and dancers that are in much demand at the moment. There's also been, in line with the fears of drought, which are haunting the UK, but also large parts of Europe, vacancies for water and waste roles, such as sewage plant operatives and other land managers as well. But the reason it just caught my eye is, do you remember during the pandemic, those were the sort of roles that really suffered, weren't they? And then all of a sudden we're seeing
dancers particularly, because live entertainment just stopped,
yeah,
didn't it?
And now suddenly we're seeing all sorts of opportunities and listings. Is that evidence of things opening up, or is the very fact that they are looking to fill these roles indicative of the fact that there is a dearth, there's not much people in those roles? But I don't know, it just makes for interesting reading, much like the other element of it, which is companies looking to get people into jobs and now offering incentives. I give you Walgreens over in the United States, where they are looking to fill positions at the moment by offering signing up bonuses, or signing bonuses, up to the value of $75,000, I'll have you know, as well. White can't find pharmacists in the US at the moment. Pharmacists are worth their value in gold and other chemical elements, I'm sure. In such high demand that Walgreens are now, well, basically taking a leaf out of sports and giving signing up fees. They are offering signing up bonuses to recruit pharmacists. You can go with those figures going as high as $75,000 just to dangle a carrot and try and get people to come over. And man, the pharmacies and the Walgreens pharmacies over in the US at the moment. And a lot of companies seem to be doing this. Incentive packages.
Yeah, I mean, and they were in the pandemic. I mean, you and I were both in Florida sort of roughly the same time, one after the other, and there were a lot of hiring bonuses going on. You know, you kind of got a Starbucks card if you even just went in and filled out an application form, particularly in the F&B industry and hospitality, where there was a lack of people, and that remains. I mean, this ties in, funnily enough, to the Grant Thornton survey that I'm looking at the moment. They've been asking companies around the world, but have broken out the UAE results, about what they're seeing in terms of rising costs. No surprise to anybody. They are seeing costs rise. This is mid-level firms, so not the sort of tiny startups, not big multinationals, mid-market businesses. Energy costs going up by about 18%, raw material costs by about 17%, salaries going up by around 14%. Whether that's, I mean, a 14% pay rise is nice. So that also presumably could be new staff as well. And the other thing the survey's found that's really interesting is they're passing that on to consumers, because the PMI data for the last couple of months has suggested that that hasn't been happening, that firms have been absorbing an awful lot of price rises, and it's only been in the last month's PMI for July that it looked like that was starting to be passed on, really. 87% say that, yeah, we're increasing our prices, and we're increasing them here in this Grant Thornton survey at the same level or above what our own cost increases are. So looking at the amount of demand that they've got and taking the opportunity to do a bit of profit taking for owners, shareholders, supply, cash flow, etc. Grant Thornton saying that those price increases are an, and I quote, extraordinary display of pricing power, which they can do because of high consumer demand and supply constraints. Mm. You want stuff, you can't get stuff, you're going to pay for stuff.
And it another one just throw into the mix on the very self-same subject is cost of living, obviously a major issue for employers and employees around the world. Hence why new figures from the Office for National Statistics Business Insights report out of the UK overnight, suggesting that 1 in 20 big business, what's a big business? Business with over 250 employees, offering workers and employees a cost of living bonus. Barrett, Taylor Wimpey, Lloyds, Rolls-Royce, HSBC, just some of the organisations to give workers bonuses to help them cope with rising costs and expensive bills. Lloyds, Rolls-Royce, HSBC have given workers bonuses to do exactly the same. Which is that going to become the sort of new norm, do you think?
Well, doing the bonus, it's interesting. There's been a report recently of a local bank giving an 8% pay rise to people in a sort of cost of living pay review. I think Zawiya Dow Jones was reporting that the other day. If you give someone a bonus, you're not tied into paying it forever and ever, because,
correct, yeah,
you know, you put wages up, they stay up. It's very hard to then say, well, the cost of living's come down, so I'm going to cut your salary. A bonus as a one-off is a lot more flexible, isn't it? You can review it in 6 months, see if you're going to give another sort of bumper payment if prices are still high or not, if they're not.
Yeah. And I suppose there is, therefore, and maybe that's one way round, sort of salary increases could be concerning for inflationary pressures, because then that's a passing on of the cost, isn't it, of higher wages to consumers. And isn't, I think Andrew Bailey had it. Do you remember he was slated at the beginning of the year saying, please don't put don't hike your salaries because it's just going to cause, what was it, a spiral or something like that?
Yeah, it's a wage price spiral, and it's one of the two, some would argue, one of three major causes of inflation. And you are, and Andrew Bailey is actually, exactly right. You put wages up, that's an input cost. So what it costs to make the pizza goes up. So then people charge more for the pizza. And because your pizzas are costing more, you go to your boss and say, price of pizzas are through the roof. I can't afford to feed my family. Other takeaways are available. And so your wages go up and it continues to spiral, wage price spiral.
Get it? Jobs. Just become a dancer.
Yeah, there is demand.
This is the Bite Size Business Breakfast, exclusively on DubaiEye1038.com.
Well, we are looking into one of our top business stories this morning, and that's a new report from the recruitment people, Hays, suggesting that more than three quarters of employers are worried that they don't have the skills they need amongst their staff. Very pleased to be speaking to their Middle East Managing Director, Sarah Dixon. Sarah, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Brandy. Thank you. It's my pleasure.
So this is the Hays Learning Mindset Report. 82% of bosses think they don't have the skills they need in an organisation. Why aren't they hiring them or upskilling those that they have?
Very good question. So it's interesting when you're looking at hard skills and soft skills, evolving roles with automation. It definitely changes the type of talent that employers need. I think employers feel in some ways that they are providing learning resources to upskill, but perhaps their employees are not so interested in upskilling or not so adept at applying those skills learnt to their jobs. There's interesting factors at play here.
Yeah, there's a bit of disconnect in this report.
For sure.
You had a lot more bosses thinking that they were providing training tools and the like than employees thought they were getting them. Talk to me about that. Companies just not paying for training?
Actually, majority of our respondents did say that they are investing in training, and employees tended to agree to this. However, they were perhaps not aware of the resources available or didn't agree that they were the relevant learning resources. I think the disconnect could come from a couple of reasons. One is that training is very personal. So what somebody might perceive as learning, it looks like a lot of us think learning is structured classroom environment, course curriculum-based learning, whereas perhaps employers can see on-the-job coaching, online self-directed learning resources as learning as well. So there might be a disconnect there. Another reason is that employees are looking at learning for personal development, whereas employers are most interested in learning for improved performance on the jobs at hand. Another disconnect.
Whose job is that, though? I mean, you can always say fair enough. Employers want to teach you the stuff to make you do the job better. Is it an employer's job to just help you become generally a more attractive, maybe hire for somebody else?
If you look at it smartly, it's a more attractive hire for you, for the company, for the future. So this is investing in skill sets inside your current talent pool. That's your pipeline of skills for the future, and it also keeps them rather than having to go out and hire again.
Is it seen that way, though, particularly here in this region?
Do you know, interestingly, when I drilled down into the UAE data, there is still some disconnect, but workers and employers are actually a bit more aligned on how they view learning. Also, actually, the UAE was in the top three for employees who felt that continuous learning are extremely important to them and their roles.
How did the UAE numbers compare to what you saw globally? What are our attitudes and indeed what's happening here, yep, training-wise, stacking up?
Sure. So it showed that employees here are definitely interested in learning. They see it as very important to themselves and their roles. They felt that what they learn is being applied very quickly and benefiting in the jobs that they do today. Employers tended to agree to this at a slightly less degree. We saw a lot of alignment in how people like to learn. So the majority of workers here like classroom-based visual learning, and majority agreed that that's what the employers are providing in the UAE as well.
All right, so spending is happening, investment is happening.
It is. And majority of people agreed on both sides on this for
UAE.
What
about the willingness to learn? Because this is the other big disconnect in the report, isn't it? Where more staff say that they want to learn, 83%, compared to the bosses thinking the willingness is there.
That was an interesting one. So about half of the respondents in the UAE said that they are regularly investing time outside of work on a weekly basis to learning. What type of work learning? Again, we're not sure. Is this directly related to their jobs? Is it related to personal interests and development? Unsure there. But there was definitely a lower percentage of employers who felt that employees were open for learning.
But when we look at the skills gap as a whole, Sarah, what kind of skills are we talking about that employers say they just don't have on board?
A lot of these are these foundational skills, the critical soft skills for any roles that won't become redundant. You're looking at problem solving, decision making, communication skills. So in theory, these can be applied. Everybody can receive this training to develop.
Are they not interviewing for them? Can you not find them in this region?
Definitely you can find, but it's a talent short market. It's very competitive. It's always better to develop and retain the people you've got than hire and retrain from outside.
Are you as a recruitment company able to find the people that you need at the moment for the vacancies that you are filling?
We find the people. It's definitely more competitive, as I mentioned. People have more options. What people are looking for from their companies has definitely changed. And learning is one of those things. A lot of people are looking for a company that has learning as a core strategy inside their employer value proposition.
What else are they looking for at the moment, Sarah? What do employees want?
Classic. Flexibility, career progression, fair remuneration.
So pay. Are we seeing wages go up here?
That's an interesting one. It's probably definitely bounced back since the pandemic. I wouldn't be able to put a hard percentage on it at the moment.
But they're on the up.
I would say so, yes.
Can you
definitely from what we've seen.
Can you find the people that you need here, or are you having to look outside for them?
I would say there is more talent in the region. There are more people coming to the UAE with the talent that we're looking for inside the Gulf region in general. So perhaps compared to historically, definitely compared to pre-pandemic, we hire a lot more talent from in region than outside. But of course, there is still the expats influx.
Thanks very much for joining us this morning. Sarah Dixon is the Middle East Managing Director for the recruitment company Hayes, speaking to us about their new learning mindset report, looking at what employers think they're offering in the way of training and development and what employees think they're actually getting.
Catch up on the business headlines with the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
Results season continues, looking at the DWA numbers now, and a line in their earnings which says the timing and size of DWA's expected Empower flotation is being studied. Very pleased to be speaking this morning to Sameer Lakhani, Managing Director of Global Capital Partners. Sameer, good morning. Thanks for speaking to us.
Thanks for having me.
Sameer, I'm going to admit, first off, I'm a little bit confused. I need your help here. So DWA says it's studying the size and the timing of the Empower IPO. And we've got a lot of reports this morning and a lot of headlines that are using the term under review, suggesting maybe that there could be second thoughts. But isn't studying the size and the timing of an IPO what you would do in an IPO?
They've been studying the size and the timing for a few years now. I think going back to 2017, the first time when the CEO of Empower, Ahmed bin Shafar, openly suggested that Empower was looking for an IPO. More recently, when the Dubai government announced its intention last year to list 10 state-owned enterprises, Empower was mentioned as one of them. DWA led the way in April with its mega-sized offering. At that time, they said that Empower was coming in most likely in the second half or the last quarter of this year. They've already picked the bankers, I think Citi, JP Morgan, and MSNBC. So I think we're at the last stages of them announcing the details to the market.
So wild speculation time, what will they now be considering? What will they be weighing up?
Size, valuation, dividend yield, those are the three boxes that need to be ticked off. The markets, you know, we have a comparison in this case. We've got the national cooling company, Tabreed, which has been listed for a while now, and that's done very well. It's up, I think, 14% this year. If you pan out over the last 3 years, the share price has nearly doubled, which has outperformed the S&P by 20 percentage points. So it's an opportune time for them to see whether they can get the most bang for the buck.
Will they also be looking at the last few IPOs that we have seen here in Dubai and in Abu Dhabi and looking at how they have performed, particularly when looking, I mean, you talk about getting the most bang for the buck, looking at the price range?
Sure. There's a whole host of factors in the book building process. They've obviously been talking to the institutional investors. They're gauging the impact of the retail investors, which has been surprisingly strong. Yes, they are looking at the post-market performance of some of these IPOs that have come out, and that will play into what the final offering size and the price range will be.
Because it's all about leaving a little bit of butter on the bread, isn't it? Leaving a bit of upside for investors in the price.
Sure, I think you're absolutely right. They will look into that. I think the emphasis has been on dividends. I think that's they've made it very clear that the emphasis is on dividends, and I think they're going to keep emphasizing that variable, especially as we look for the next 12 months to be somewhat challenging in terms of the inflationary environment. Don't break out the confetti just yet with the inflation numbers coming down just a bit.
Can we not have both, Samir, with stocks here in this region? I mean, buying in anywhere else, people are looking for the upside, I would argue, even more than the dividends, your conventional stock investor. They're looking for capital growth.
I agree with you. If you look at, like I said, right, we on a stock-specific purpose basis, we've got Tabreed that has nearly doubled over the last 3 years. I don't think that has made any headlines anywhere, but it's performed spectacularly, beaten the S&P 500, beaten the NASDAQ performance over a similar time frame. But you're right. It's all about the emphasis, at least in the culture and the zeitgeist, has been more about short-term gains. These are more disciplined long-term investments. And over the long term, you can definitely get both. Tabreed demonstrates that. Emaar demonstrates that. And a whole bunch of other companies that are already listed can attest to the same.
So what we have seen from Tabreed and the other IPOs, how attractive could an Empower IPO be? What kind of appetite could we see at the moment?
I think the story is going to be similar. We're going to get oversubscription no matter what, I think, because international institutional investors are looking to this part of the world. They are looking for cash flows. When interest rates rise, the emphasis automatically shifts to A, real assets, and B, dividend yielding assets. I think Tabreed is 40% owned by Engie out of France. And that transaction was done in 2017. So I think we're going to see more of a foray into that. Empower has the infrastructure, just like Diwa has the infrastructure. So that you're buying into a almost irreplaceable monopoly of cash flow streams. And that suggests that the appetite will be strong.
Well, let's look at the Diwa results quickly while we have you. 37% rise in Q2 net profit, 14% rise in revenue. You know I love a bit of proxy data, Samir. What can I extrapolate from these numbers about what's happening to the Dubai population and economic activity here?
Population is increasing. We know that. The Dubai Urban Plan 2040 talks about a doubling of population. In the first half, on a year-on-year basis, the customer base for DUI increased by 5%. Peak demand, which was 9.4 gigawatts, which is roughly the size of the installed capacity of the power in New Zealand. That's up 7%. We're seeing more of an emphasis on increased power installations. We have the peak time. I think peak time right now is actually slightly higher than 9.4 gigawatts. All in all, all the graphs are going up, which means that CapEx has to increase, but so does cash flow, and that's where Empower comes in. They actually reduce and are part of the Dubai Supreme Council Energy's plan for demand management to reduce per capita consumption by 30%. That's where Empower comes in to make energy consumption more efficient. And that's part of the broader scheme.
And what do these DUI results mean for its new shareholders, 20 seconds, who will be looking towards dividends?
You're going to get a little bit of a valuation bump, depending on what Empower gets priced at. Empower is owned by DUI 70%, but also TCOM. So I think both of these share prices should see a little bit of a pop when the price range is announced.
Samir Lakhani, thank you very much for your time this morning, Managing Director of Global Capital Partners.
Investments go up and investments go down. Before putting your hard-earned money into any investment, Dubai Eye 103.8 advises you to always do your own background research. Ensure you're informed to navigate the market and any potential pitfalls. Just the highlights. This is the Bite-Sized Business Breakfast.
Right, let's talk sports and, of course, content. About 8 years ago, wasn't it, that a homegrown startup set out to change the way we consumed content. That was called Stars Play. Now, 8 years on, over 200 employees to their name. And in an interesting post, when was it? It's about 5 months ago that Mar Sheikh, the chief executive officer and co-founder at Stars Play, wrote on LinkedIn that I'm confident that 2022 will bring more record highs, especially as we look forward to bringing our viewers even more sports content. This was after the successful airing of the Ultimate Fighting Championship, the International Cricket Council's, the ICC's T20 World Cup and FIFA Asian qualifiers. He went on to say, "We are," they've done exactly that, because today is the day that Stars Play now launches Stars Play Sports. And to tell us a bit more about that, we're joined live on Microsoft Teams by Danny Bates, who's the Chief Commercial Officer of Stars Play. Good morning to you, Danny.
Good morning, Tom. Thank you for having us on the show.
And what a day. August the 12th, the launch of Stars Play Sports. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's a big day for us. There's been a lot of work gone into today. And we're very excited to launch the package, indeed.
How's it going to disrupt the sports streaming industry here?
I think there's two things that will really disrupt the status quo. I think number one, particularly when it came to major soccer rights or major football rights, it has been really with one player in the region now for many, many years. You know, 10 plus years, sport or football has been with one major player in the MENA region. Now with Stars Play, we're bringing, and with our partners at Abu Dhabi Media, we're bringing football onto a different platform, onto a different experience, and we're bringing that to customers across the MENA region in a different way. So I think that's a very, very big change. And I think secondly, we're also bringing football via OTT platforms for the first time across this region. We've seen in the past it's been distributed via satellites or distributed via maybe some of the IPTV networks in the region, whereas this is bringing football now on an OTT network and with all the capabilities that allows for the customer.
So, Danny, first up, it will be the Italian league, Serie A, and then more will follow, or are there more already available?
So from a football standpoint, we will start with the Serie A, but also the Dutch league. So we have exclusive Dutch league. We're excited to add to the Serie A, the Dutch league. There's a lot of players from the North African region in particular, as we're a MENA-wide platform playing in the Dutch league today. And then there will be other sports that we can bring to our platform. So we can confirm today we have the European Basketball League and European Cup of Basketball. So this is also coming to Stars Play. We have boxing from Frank Warren. We have the Extreme E events, which is a growing popular sport of motor racing. So there's a lot of other sports we've confirmed today, and many other sports that we're confirming over the next few weeks. In continued partnership with eVision and Etisalat, we bring the cricket and some of the other very relevant events, particularly for the UAE and our customers here in the UAE.
Fair to say, Danny, and I remember I mentioned conversations with Maz in the past there and him talking about, it was only, what, a year, 2 years ago that we saw the first sport come onto the platform. Part now of the long-term strategy?
Definitely part of a long-term strategy. I think, last year, back in, as you say, in Jan 21, we brought UFC to the platform. Yeah. That was our first move into sport, working again with Abu Dhabi Media. I think we saw the impact that had on the platform, just bringing even that first sport to the platform, the organic reach that sports has, and what a sort of compelling driver it is for the customer to come for that event at that time. So that started with UFC, and it built throughout the year, bringing the AFC rights, the UAE national team games, the Stars Play, and then the Cricket World Cup. So we kind of had a year to test and grow and learn with some major rights. Then now, moving into 2022, we moved ahead and brought, what some people now class as the second largest European league in Serie A. And I think it's really part of the strategy is to build on that football offering as we go forward. So, yeah, I think hopefully more to come from Stars Play in this front in the coming years.
Quick question, Dan, on a subscription. So subscribers of Stars Play, will they automatically get Stars Play Sports, or is it in another subscription?
Stars Play Sports is a separate subscription. And in the UAE, that's at just around 44 dirhams a month, 44.99 a month.
And where are you and the team when it comes to sort of pay-per-view for on-demand events?
We've done that in the past. So in the past, we'd been much more of an events-based platform when it came to sport, not so much a subscription platform. But what we're doing with our new sports pack is kind of rolling together everything we have into one package. So we're more of a now all-you-can-eat package, if you like, with everything we have as a sports offering available to consumers.
And you mentioned the partnership there with Abu Dhabi Sports as well. Is that something that's set to continue with other projects?
Definitely. I mean, I think number one, it's something we're really excited about for the Serie A. We were down with the Abu Dhabi sport team yesterday doing some work in the studio. So I think the coverage that customers will see across MENA will be exceptional. Really excited to work with the team there. The studios look amazing. The production looks absolutely amazing. The partnerships worked really well across the last year or so, and having that ability to work together, I think, as Stars Play, what we bring from distribution and execution and Abu Dhabi's world-class broadcast is a partnership we really appreciate.
Congratulations, Danny, to you, Maz, and all the team at Stars Play. I'm sure it's been a busy old summer for you guys down there. It is launch day today. That's Danny Bates, the Chief Commercial Officer of Stars Play. The new home of Serie A is Stars Play Sports, which launches today.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.